Hello, my name is Craig Faust with Life Care Counseling, and you are listening to St. Louis Therapist Spotlight. And I am just going to meet with another fellow therapist that I know does good work and talk with them a little bit about their practice and their specialties. So if it's something that you feel like may be a good fit for you or someone that you know, then you may be able to get in contact with them. So without any further delay, here we go. Hello, my name is Craig from Life Care Counseling, and I'm here today with Julie. Julie, can you tell everyone hi?
Hi, everyone.
So just first things first, while we're here, Julie, can you just give me an idea, a little bit about the work that you do? But even before we start, can we just start with like your educational background and maybe even what got you into counseling?
Sure. So my name is Julie Williamson. I am a licensed professional counselor and national certified counselor. I also have a certification in play therapy. And I did my undergrad at a small liberal arts school in central Indiana called Taylor University. I've spent most of my life in St. Louis. So after college, I came home. I knew I wanted to go into counseling. I have actually, since high school, wanted to be in counseling, in the counseling field. So came home, knew grad school was the next step. So got my master's in counseling here in town at Covenant Seminary. And graduated in 2010, which is hard to believe. It's been almost 9 years.
Well, I think that's really different too. So many people in our field, I feel like this is like their second or third career. And it sounds like you kind of knew right off the bat. And I'm just kind of wondering, you said that one of the things that you do is play therapy. That kind of turns me on to this part. I'm like, all right, well, tell me, what kind of populations do you work with? What kind of people do you serve?
Yeah, so it's interesting because so I got my play therapy certification. A few years ago, I was doing family therapy for a nonprofit here in town called Epworth Children and Family Services. And so while I was there, I was working with families. And so I completed my play therapy certification during that time. And it's interesting because when I started my private practice, I had marketed myself to a lot of schools and a lot of organizations that work with children and families, and I got no kids. But I was a lot of the clients that were coming to me were adult women with anxiety and depression and various relationship issues. And so I was really enjoying working with those women. And so I basically changed the trajectory of my practice and what I was doing. And so now I am I'm only seeing women with anxiety and depression and various relationship issues. And so, which it's just been interesting how, and I've loved it. My passion has really changed. So since focusing more on those areas, I've actually been trained in acceptance and commitment therapy, or what we call ACT. I love that mode of therapy. It was the type of thing where when I went to just an introductory training, and I just felt like it really resonated with me and a lot of the people that I work with.
And the work that you're doing with some of these women, I feel like that would just go hand in hand with it. So the fact that it resonated with you and you already made this transition to, I feel like that's actually true of so many of us, where we have this idea of this population that we want to work with, and then there's just something about us, like whether or not it's our personality or the right circumstances, where instead it turns out that we actually work really well with this other population as well.
Absolutely. And I have a history in my family of depression and anxiety. I've struggled with my own anxiety over the years, which if you're a client of mine long enough, you'll probably hear a story or two from that. And so what I love about ACT is, just like you said, I mean, it's an evidence-based treatment for anxiety and depression and a whole other range of challenges, but I really did. It really resonated with me when I went to the training, and I've seen it be really helpful for some of my clients that I work with.
I wonder, can you tell me a little bit about, like, if I'm coming to see you and I'm seeing you use this modality, how mm-hmm. would I be able to tell that you're using this versus something else? Like, how sure. would I know if it's right for me as a client to come see you and to receive this type of treatment?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So one thing that I really love about ACT is I think some modes of therapy can treat anxiety or depression as, it is a medical condition, but as a condition where you go, you get treatment, you're healed, you're good, mm-hmm. the end. And ACT, part of what it, what we talk about in that mode of treatment is that, you know, anxiety and depression, those are things that we're probably all going to experience at some point in our lives. And usually we feel those feelings for a reason. What I really like about it and what I talk to my clients about is instead of pushing those feelings away or trying to control them or even being so consumed by them that they're all we think about, mm-hmm. We can accept them for what they are. Doesn't mean we have to like them, but we can accept that those feelings are a part of our lives, and there are different ways that we can cope with those feelings that doesn't take us away from what we really want to be doing or how we want to be relating to people or how we want to be living our lives. So a big part of what I do is just trying to normalize, again, not saying that they're okay, but just trying to normalize, like, we do feel bad things in life, and so, but they don't have to take us off track.
It's kind of like, I have this part of me that I don't really like, and it's not like I'm trying to throw it away all the time. Instead, mm-hmm. I'm getting used to, like, all right, this is a part of me, and just because it's a part of me doesn't mean that I can, you know, that I still can't function or that I still can't grow or
absolutely
develop in a way that I want.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering, even just hearing you talk about this, you use that word coping. Mm-hmm. So where are my mm-hmm. coping skills or anything kind of fit in some of the mm-hmm. work that you do?
Yeah. So ACT is really big on mindfulness. It's something that I've learned a lot about in the last couple of years. And I feel like it's still a concept that I'm learning and trying to understand and wrap my own head around. But a lot of what mindfulness is just paying attention to what's happening in the present moment. So a lot of times that might look like tuning into what's going on in your body. If you're, you know, as you're talking about something that's emotionally distressing or having some kind of emotional impact, like what's happening inside of you? Are you feeling tightness in your chest or, flushed in your face or, you know, your fists are clenching as you're talking? It's a lot of like tuning into what's actually going on. Another thing that I'll work with clients on are thoughts that they tend to get entangled in.
A little bit of thoughts with anxiety, right?
Yeah, just a little. Yeah. but anxious thoughts that are taking them off the path that they want to mm-hmm. be on and stay on. There are a lot of ACT we talk a lot about metaphor. We use a lot of metaphors. One of my favorite metaphors is just imagining your thoughts as cars on a highway. They're there. They're not disappearing, but you can just kind of watch them go by and you don't necessarily have to get all wrapped up in them, mm-hmm. which is so much easier said than done, but
you aren't on the highway in that traffic jam trying to maneuver in and out of them and getting hit by them,
right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Those are some of the techniques that
I kind of wonder, like, about. Even as we're talking about this mindfulness part, it seems like one of the things that you're saying is that, like, for you, talking about the sensations that people may be having in the body and having them be aware of it. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the type of treatment that you offer is a lot of being in the present moment, like us being present here in the session, which I think is very different than a lot of treatment that, you know, people may get where it's like, all right, we're dwelling into the past and kind of trying to stay in that space. Sure. Whereas it sounds like for you, and even incorporating this mindfulness component, we may be talking about the past, more focused on what's happening with you right now.
Absolutely.
In the room and gaining an awareness of that.
Yeah. And I mean, when clients come to me, part of my initial assessment information gathering process is I do think it's important to know about family history. And I try to incorporate some of the attachment theory into what I do. So it's helpful for me to know how emotions were treated in your family growing up, because I think so much of that shapes how we view them now. And how we respond to what we're feeling now. So
whether or not you're used to pushing them away or like keeping them really close or really showing them.
Yeah. Or what emotions are allowed to be felt? You know, are you allowed to feel angry but not sad? I mean, I know that's a lot of, I've worked with clients who the only thing that was appropriate for them to show growing up with was anger. But when it comes to sadness or, you know, feeling hurt by someone, that's not okay. So you just shut that down or do something with that.
I wonder if I'm someone coming to see you and I'm just kind of wondering about myself, if I've been allowed to express certain feelings or not, how many people come in with an awareness that they haven't been allowed to show certain feelings? Or is that something that's usually discovered through the process that you go through?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's usually a matter of when I have found, at least with the clients I work with, when I'm asking them, you know, how did you know when your parents were angry growing up? Or, you know, how did when someone passed away in your family, how did people respond? They can usually tell me, but I don't think, and it's funny because sometimes just me asking those questions, when they respond, they may not have made those connections in the past, but they'll be sitting here like, oh, maybe that's why I...
maybe that's why I pushed this
right away. And so, and that's always an interesting thing to see. Is it there?
It's not okay to cry in front of people or talk to people about like how I feel.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So they don't necessarily, I mean, I think... like they're able to answer my questions, you know, and then they usually connect the insight themselves. But
okay.
Yeah.
So you said that mostly whom you work with are women that are suffering from anxiety or depression, or they may even have relationship issues or anything like that. You know, I'm kind of curious, like even with you working with that population, I'm just looking at your room right now and I feel like, so just to kind of give you guys an idea, it's really light colored and it's really uplifting. I feel like if I was like having a depressive swing right now, that it would actually just uplift me walking in here.
I'm glad to hear that.
And I wonder if that was intentional for you.
Yeah. Or, well, so I'm fortunate in that the space that I rent was already furnished.
Okay.
I have, you know, I do have actually an aloe plant in my office that was given to me by a client. And it was the sweetest thing. She felt like this was a healing place for her. And so she said, I want to give you this healing plant. So I have this aloe plant, which means a lot to me. And, but yeah, I mean, I love this space too, because
it's a really comfortable space.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was fortunate in that it was furnished for me, but I know that the person, so Casey Limmer, who owns the suite that I rent from, is a therapist herself, and she decorated all these offices, and I know she was really thoughtful when she decorated them because she wanted them to be spaces that felt healing.
I kind of wonder, whenever you're in here and you're working with clients, I notice even as I'm talking to you, that like you have this energy about you. And I'm wondering, like, is that pretty consistent whenever you're meeting with clients, or does that mm-hmm. change depending on what it is that you're talking with them about? Or kind of give me an idea of, like, for you during those sessions, mm-hmm. You know, if I'm a client coming in, what would I notice in you, or what would I see?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. well, I certainly love what I do. And I am so fortunate. I love all the clients that I see. I've been in jobs in the past where, you know, you have people that are sometimes difficult to empathize with. And I just feel like the women that I work with, that I'm working with right now, they're great. And I enjoy each and every one of them. And so, I mean, I think it's important for me that my clients feel heard and understood, mm-hmm. To the best that I can hear and understand them. And so, you know, I really do. And I know that they're giving up time and resources, and that therapy isn't easy. It's not easy to come in here and tell someone things that you've never told anyone else. And so, I want women to feel like they can do that. I mean, and sometimes that takes time, you know. I know that you may not feel comfortable the first month or even 2 months, you know. It takes time to build that relationship, but I ultimately want my clients to feel comfortable so that they can share some of those difficult things.
Yeah. You know, kind of even just while we're on the topic right now, I was mm-hmm. actually going to save this for later, but it feels like this is a good place for you. Let's say that I'm someone that's I'm listening to this right now, and I'm just kind of wondering, like, hey, would this be a good time for me to come and give Julie a call mm-hmm. and set up something? Mm-hmm. I guess one of the questions I have for you is, where are most of your clients maybe at whenever they're finally mm-hmm. like, all right, enough is enough, and like, I want to go talk to somebody, mm-hmm. I want to start, you know, moving, making some type of progress or making some type of headway?
Yeah. Well, that's always a question I ask at the first session. You know, what brings you in and why now? and usually, two things come to mind. Usually it's interfering, whatever they're going through, anxiety, depression, some kind of relationship challenge. Usually it's interfering with some mm-hmm. other aspect of their life. So whether that's, you know, impacting their family life at home, or, you know, they're having difficulty focusing at work, or some clients have just, they're just tired of feeling a particular way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've just gotten to the point where they're like, I don't want to feel this way, or I at least need, you know, someone to talk to about it. So yeah, I would say it usually runs along those lines of, you know, it's interfering with some other aspect of their lives, or they just can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I kind of wonder if, like, how often do you see people that may be experiencing both anxiety and depression? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, is that something that's pretty common for some of the people you serve?
Yeah. I definitely have clients where the primary issue is anxiety. I would say anxiety is probably the number one thing I see. But I do have clients where, and I think depression and anxiety can sometimes look similar mm-hmm. in some ways. And so, you know, some clients, it just seems to kind of vacillate in between, you know, 1 week, it's just, they're feeling overwhelmed with anxiety. Yeah. And then, you know, other times they're just experiencing periods of feeling kind of down. And honestly, a lot of what I found too is sometimes at the heart of anxiety or depression is just a sense of shame, you know, low self-worth. And so sometimes it means addressing that before we're touching the symptoms that you're coming in with.
I imagine that's where your use of that that acceptance and commitment therapy really comes into play mm-hmm. With any type mm-hmm. of that guilt and shame part
yeah.
that shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of wondering for you, we just kind of talked about you using that modality. Is there mm-hmm. any other type of modality that you might use if you're seeing someone and maybe you incorporate it with your acceptance and commitment therapy mm-hmm. or is there any other type of training or anything that you have that you might actually use in session?
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm not as trained in this as I am with ACT, but I've done some attachment focus training and that's, I incorporate, as I was mentioning earlier, a lot of when we talk about family history, I approach it more of an attachment
mm-hmm. Like trying to help
way.
Help your clients set up those type of connections between
yes.
what's happened in the past is affecting you now.
Absolutely. So another specialty of mine, when I talk about relationships, I'm actually a certified instructor with a program called Premarital Interpersonal Choices and Knowledge. We call it the PIC program for short. And so it's not so much a methodology, but when I've had clients come in who are in relationships that they're wondering if they're the right relationships for them, if they need to leave, or if they know they need to leave, but they're not sure how to leave.
Okay. So is that kind of like a pre-marriage counseling type thing then? Or?
So it's not for, it's for people who are single or single again. It's more focused on dating relationships
okay.
and determining if the relationship that you're in ultimately is has a strong predictor for lasting.
Okay.
So it's an interesting program. It's research based, and basically the man who founded it, Dr. John Van Epp, did like a decade's worth of research before mm-hmm. putting this program together. And he basically looked at five areas that predict what a person will be like in marriage. So a lot of times I have clients come in and they're like, you know, this person feels this way about this. I feel this way about this thing. I'm not sure if it's meant to be.
Like, will that actually impact your marriage in the long term where you guys are going to have some severe issues?
Exactly.
Or is that something that you guys will probably be fine with?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and we talk about a lot. So I actually, it's set up as a group curriculum, mm-hmm. Like an educational curriculum. So I just finished a group in February. It was a 5-week group where we looked at each of those areas that will predict what a person will be like in marriage. And we talked about other things like...
So both of them don't actually have to be there in order for you
to... Oh, no. Please. No, okay. I mean, it's meant for people who are single
okay.
or single again. In the group that I just had, you know, we had men and women. Mm-hmm.
Now, will this help you to know... I'm just kind of curious about
yeah.
this. Like, will this help you to know the type of relationships you should be looking for?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure I was understanding
you. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's great for people who are, I mean, it's been used all over the country in various populations. People who are divorced and want to get back on the dating scene. People who are widowed want to get back on the dating scene.
Yeah.
It's been taught to high schoolers. It's basically a model of bonding. He's drawn a lot from attachment theory and created this, model of how we bond with each other
yeah.
and certain things to look for, and a way to pace your relationship in a healthy way. So we talk a lot about the things that you need to know about a person before you place your trust in them. And what does it mean to place your trust in them?
So you said, and you do this in a group format. So
yeah,
how does that group have like a set number of meetings that you guys have, or is it just change or depend?
Yeah, so it can be a 5-week course or a 10-week course.
Okay.
It's 10 total hours. So what I did was I just did a 5-week course, 2 hours mm-hmm. each week, and so I'll. probably be starting another group, I'm hoping, in the fall.
Is that something that people will be able to find on your website?
Absolutely. Yeah, I have a whole tab on my website. It says pick program at the top. Okay. They can click on that, and I'll post when that is, when the next group is scheduled, and you can sign up through my website. But I do try to incorporate, I mean, I work with clients who are struggling, knowing what to look for in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So that is a great resource and a great tool that I've used just in my individual sessions with people.
Is that something that is on paper and pencil at all as well?
Yeah. I refer the people to the book that it's based on all the time. The book is actually called How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk. So it's a funny title, but everything we talk about in the group is in this book. So, and it's a great read. He's a great writer, and, you know, it's a lot of information. I think it's a lot to digest, but he writes it in a very easy to read manner. It includes lots of personal stories and funny stories. And
I think it's also a pretty unique type of group to the area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's actually only one other therapist, at least that I know of right now. There's only one other therapist in the area who is certified to teach it. And she's actually taught the course at Merrimack before. But it's everybody else in the state of Missouri. It's really interesting. Everybody else in the state of Missouri certified to teach it is from the military. Yeah. So there are a lot of groups that happen. I think they've got a pretty good group at Fort Leonard Wood, or they have in the past anyway. So it's an interesting group, but I love doing it.
That's an interesting niche that you have there.
Yeah. I actually heard Dr. Van Epp, the creator, at a conference, I guess it was about 6 years ago, and I was single at the time, and so I just felt like it was such a useful guide as I was, you know, dating and
trying to figure out your own.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been.
So it sounds like it's something that you found useful absolutely. Enough to continue your education.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And I knew when I went to that workshop that one day I wanted to be certified in it. At the time I was working for an agency, I wasn't in private practice yet, but it was on my to-do list. And so it's been really fun being able to do that, and hope to do more groups in the future. So that's definitely on my plan for the rest of the year is to do another one. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of wonder for you, is there any other type of specialties mm-hmm. or modalities that, mm-hmm. you know, people just to know a little bit more about how you practice?
Yeah. I mean, those are really it. I will say, you know, I am a Christian, and I was
going to ask you about that because you said that you graduated from the seminary.
Yeah. So I have, the educational, background that really integrates, faith with, psychology and counseling.
I feel like that makes you even more qualified to do, acceptance and commitment therapy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's why I've resonated so much with it mm-hmm. is because I feel like it really fits in well with my own worldview. So I will say a lot of the clients I see are Christians, but that is certainly not all of the clients that I see. I'm open to, you know, if you come in and tell me you're a Christian, then I will certainly integrate that in our work together. But I'm, you know, more than happy to work with people who don't share my faith. So, but I do feel like that is that is a big reason why ACT resonated with me, I think.
Well, it makes good sense too. Mm-hmm. And I think that it sounds like for you being willing to work with people that don't necessarily have the same worldview as mm-hmm. you also says a certain amount to being that type of therapist too, mm-hmm. being able to, in your own way, being able to accept, like, you know, things that you can't change in that way too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the theory or modality quite works that way, but it feels like it should fit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a big part of the modality is values and mm-hmm. what are your own personal values. And so, You know, that's a big part of what we talk about. Like, what do you want your life to look like? And how are the decisions you're making now pointing you in that direction, or maybe taking that away? Or how is the things that you're experiencing, the emotions you're experiencing, how's that influencing how you're living according to your values? And so, you know, it's certainly about what is important to each individual client. And the whole model kind of suggests that when we're not living in accordance with those values, that's when some of those symptoms come up.
So I think that even hearing you just talk about it, there's a certain amount of depth to the therapy that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to make a clear distinction between that, because I think that there are sometimes where we might go to therapists and you might go for 6 sessions or something. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the work that you do is a lot more integrated into the experiences that you had over your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But also maybe even not so much just putting a Band-Aid over whatever is going on and be like, all right, well, you can see me whenever it comes off and we can try to put it back on there.
Mm-hmm.
And where you're really trying to seek some type of longer lasting resolution for some of the people that you serve.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the reason that I named my practice Abundant Life Counseling, well, it's actually based off of a verse in the Bible, John 10:10. But it's all about living life. I mean, I like to acknowledge, like, this world is not perfect. It's never going to be perfect. We're going to struggle. We're going to have hardship. No matter how much therapy we go to, no matter how much we meditate, no matter how many coping skills we have, it's just going to happen. And so, you know, I want people to feel like they can come in here and talk about those things. And also, a lot of my clients have heard me talking about tension between, you know, really difficult things in life that are happening, and also holding the fact that there are these really good things happening. And so I just think that's a lot of what I focus on, because it's just, I feel like life is just complicated. I don't know if that answered.
I think what that puts a certain amount of realism to it, is that they're like, maybe whenever people come in to see you, they might have this idea about this is going to resolve all my challenges that I'm facing. Mm-hmm. But for you, maybe it's like, we'll resolve some of them, but they're always going to be there.
Yeah.
And you resolving some of these and you being prepared for those challenges being there is what's going to help you thrive.
Right.
Instead of being like, all right, my plate's finally clear. Yeah. Now I can be happy with my life.
Yeah.
It's like, no, maybe you can be happy with your life before that, even though you still have some things left on your plate.
Absolutely.
Which I feel like is a very realistic way of looking at things.
Yeah. I just don't think that it's possible. I mean, I absolutely believe, again, that you can live a wonderful, fulfilling life. But I just don't think it's possible to live in this world and not experience some kind of suffering. And so, you know, we don't have to let that suffering keep us from living full lives. And that's where that tension comes in again. And so, and I don't know where I know I've fallen into this, is like thinking of life is all or nothing, and I don't know where we got that idea that both can't exist, but
there's a lot of resiliency building in the work that you do.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that's what my clients come away with. That's certainly what I would want them to come away with.
Being able to take some of the punches that life throws at us and continuing to go.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they don't really stop.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you do a lot of good work with that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. One other thing I'll mention. In ACT, we talk about this metaphor of mountain climbing. And
I love metaphors.
Yes.
Use in therapy.
I do too. And so I'll sometimes tell clients, especially when they're first starting out with me, that, you know, I'm climbing my mountain, you're climbing your mountain. And I did not make this up, by the way. This is an ACT metaphor. So I'm not taking credit for this. But, you know, we're each climbing our own mountains. And I might be able to look over at your mountain and see something in your path, a tree, a big rock, or something that is coming up that maybe you can't see, and I can point that out to you. But I am by no means at the top of my mountain. I am by no means arrived at some place where I have everything figured out and I know all the answers and I know how to get to the top of the mountain, because I'm still climbing my mountain. And I just think that's a really good metaphor for therapy. Like, I do not have everything figured out. But, you know, because of my training and my experience, you know, I might be able to see something in your path that maybe you can't. So, but that's, I just like to use that to describe how that's how I view the therapy process, is just, you know, and I want my clients to know I by no means have everything figured out, but I might be able to see something and point it out to you.
Viewing it through that humility lens says a lot about you and the work that you do. I mean, it sounds like the work that you do with your clients is it's a collaborative process. You and them are working together rather than you talking to them on a pedestal about, you need to do this, you need to do this. It's not a doctor-patient relationship.
Sure.
Or anything like that.
Yeah. That's certainly my goal, is for it to be collaborative. I mean, ultimately, I see you 1 hour a week and you're living the rest of your life all the other hours of the week. So, you know, I want you to feel like you are living your life and not just, you know, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I have the power to say something that's going to, you know, I mean, I hope that I'm helpful, obviously, but yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I have, you know, some magic pill that I can just, or solution that I can just tell you to do and everything's going to be resolved. So I definitely aim for it to be collaborative. And I know that some things work great for some people and some things just, and then they don't work for others. So, you know, I might do one thing with one client and try the same thing with another. And I know I want you to tell me if you're like, that's stupid, I don't get it. Or
so it's not a one size fit all for exactly. The 7.1 billion people on the planet.
Right. Exactly. Like, if you think my metaphor is dumb or you don't understand it, then tell me, please. So, you know, but then it might resonate with someone else. So, yeah, I definitely want it to be a collaborative process.
All right. That sounds like how it's supposed to be, too. And I want to thank you for your time and being able to talk to me about your practice. And I also want to thank you for the work that you do, because I think it's important work. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that you are helping. And I feel like on our journey as counselors and therapists, sometimes we have in our hearts work for we work with certain populations, and it sounds like you have found this population that really resonates with you, working with some of these women through some of the challenges that they have. And it sounds like a lot of the work that you're doing, a lot of training that you have, really emphasizes that specialization. So I will put some links on to some of the things you mentioned, especially that PIC program. And again, just thank you for coming on here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of St. Louis Therapist Spotlight. The music you're listening to is called Lobby Time by Kevin McLeod, and that is licensed under Creative Commons. And you can find more great tunes like this at creativecommons.org.